the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 139 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Sheck. S-H-E-K, free agency week is just about wrapped up, the first one. Let's break it all down now with my main man from NFL.com, seated as always to my immediate right, Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss, thanks for having me. Appreciate you putting me on. And you know what? Thanks again for bringing to life the Stevie Johnson interview we did last week. I don't know if I'm pulling back the curtain to say when we actually
did it a few days ago. Then we unveiled it on episode 137 at the start of the week, mm-hmm. after we talked to Bryant McKinney and had a good conversation with him. And then we spun it back again this week because it was good stuff, because the Stevie Johnson chat was about an hour into 137, mm-hmm. so now 138, the entire episode of 138 is the Stevie Johnson interview. I encourage you, nay, demand that you go back and listen to it. Good stuff there. And one thing that we were talking about is, amidst all this free agency, you got into Stevie Johnson. You're in the market for an NFL team. You need to root for a team.
Right.
And so I think thus begins the campaign. I think it should last until the start of the 2013 NFL season, and not all teams, because listen, the Rams are out. That's why you don't have one.
If they were still around.
An L.A. native, they abandoned you, so you cannot go back to them unless they move to L.A., which it doesn't seem they're going to.
The Steelers are
out because they're the most successful team, and you're not allowed to start at the – you can't switch to the most successful team as your favorite team. That's ridiculous.
I didn't say I was going to be a Packers fan.
There's no pride in that. And, well, listen, the Packers should be out, and the Niners should be out as well, and the Cowboys.
The Niners are kind of out.
So if we scratch all those teams out, so there are about, 26, 28 teams left out there for you who can court you and make Adam Rank their newest fan. I think this will be a fun thing to track. But let's talk about the real free agents, the players out there who are moving all over the places. As far as I can recall, at least, this is the most exciting one we've seen. 2 years ago, the Eagles became the so-called dream team, and we saw how that all worked out. But I would say this one has trumped it with all the movement and the Welker melodrama and so on and so forth. So let's get into it right now. And also joining us, our colleague here at the NFL Network and NFL.com doing gangbusters work, Akbar Bajabiamila. What's the poop with you, fella?
Man, I love the fact that you never mess up on my last name.
I'm a pro. Why would I mess it up?
First and foremost, but I'm good. I am good.
You just had a big stinking bowl of chili in here.
Well, you know, it was. I still have some left.
Go ahead and eat it. I don't care.
But I tell you one thing. It's full of protein. You see why my muscles are bigger than yours?
I don't know why you would come in here and start attacking right out of the gate. My muscles are just fine.
I'm just saying.
Well, listen, you know what?
I'm not quite sure.
I think it's hashtag.
Well, when you play football, it's hash mark.
Listen, you know what? I don't understand the attitude and this need to, right out of the gate, distinguish yourself as, by the way, I played NFL football. Yeah, we heard about it.
I didn't even say anything.
You just said you played football. You just talked about it.
How many NFL sacks between the three of us here?
Two, because I've had more than any of you guys.
I know. Think about that. All the work, all the toil, all the time you had to spend in the weight room in August out in training camps and everything else, that's amounted to two more sacks than I have for my career.
Sacks are overrated. You just get paid a lot of money for it. That's it.
Yeah. Well, speaking
you said that to your brother?
Yeah, and he's got a lot of money.
I like that rationalization. Sacks are overrated. That's why I didn't get them in my career. Now, all right. Let's talk about things. Akbar, a pleasure to see you in here, and we can get off the rails and kibitz about this, that, and the other. But I want to talk about, right at the start, this Welker business. Wes Welker leaves the Patriots. And one thing I am keen on reminding fans, and the GMs probably don't care as much about my opinion, but they should really listen when I say caveat emptor on this one detail. The New England Patriots and Pittsburgh Steelers are 1 and 1A with cultivating players in their systems. And the assumption that you can take Patriots and Steelers and have the same level of production from those guys seems quite foolish to me, because you can count on probably one hand the guys that have left those respective teams and gone on and been successful. Now, Wes Welker goes to the Broncos in that offense with as much as they throw the ball, and Peyton Manning's practical inability to really push the ball downfield at this point. You watch them in 2012. Everything was 15 yards and less. It was, you know, it was masterful on some level that he could pick the teams, the defenses apart without the option of a deep ball consistently. So Wes Welker seems to be a good fit there. I will say, slow down, everybody, on handing the Super Bowl to the Denver Broncos. First of all, we've seen Peyton Manning throw away many playoff runs and Super Bowls. But beyond that, he's 37. Only two guys in NFL history have won a Super Bowl at age 37. Johnny U, who did it way back in Super Bowl
V.
That's exactly right, yeah. Johnny U did it, but he got hurt in the second quarter and was replaced by Earl Morrill, so I don't know how much you even count that one.
Right.
And number two, Johnny E, as you call him, Elway, is, you know, he did it with Terrell Davis carrying the load. It wasn't when it was John Elway's offense anymore. It was when it was Terrell Davis's offense that they did get a couple in Elway's in the twilight of his career. So the odds are against, history is against the Broncos winning the Super Bowl. That being said, they also had DRC, Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. So they're interesting with the moves that they're making now. And I guess let's talk about, I do want to talk winners, losers, all that stuff. But fellas, what do you think about Wes Welker? Akbar, I'll start with you. Did you think it was disloyal? Do you think
Absolutely.
We're not hearing the whole story? Because we hear Brady's upset, but then you haven't really heard a whole lot out of him.
Well, I would imagine that he's upset, and, you know, and I think a lot of that stuff that they had to do with this contract to try to make room, you know, to be what we call in the locker room a team player, mm-hmm. you know, take one for the team. He took one for the team, and I thought that it was very unloyal of the New England Patriots to kind of dismiss Wes Welker. I mean, for his services and what he's done, they were so ready to move on. And this is what kind of irritates me about the whole thing with relationship from fans to players. And when players start crying and asking for money and, you know, holding out, and players are like, why are you doing that? You guys are just about the money, so on and so forth. That's because at the drop of a dime, they will turn around and turn their backs on them. And then they go out and pay, you know, Danny Amendola. And let's face it, Danny Amendola isn't, I don't say has the same track record as well. Everybody wants to compare him, but you know, Danny Amendola can barely stay healthy. I mean, he might be a $150 soaking wet. I mean, so when you look at the durability and the type of consistency that Wes Welker brings, I thought that he would be a better asset to the New England Patriots. Now, having said that, moving on to the Denver Broncos, I mean, he's going to be familiar with that offense. He's got, to me, what I think is a heck of a switchover in quarterbacks.
Why is he going to be familiar with that offense?
Well, because he's got the familiarity with OC and head coach? The same type of offensive system. I'm drawing a blank right now.
But, Fox and who did take over the offense there in Denver?
Why am I drawing a blank? From New England.
Not Mike McCoy. Well, Mike McCoy left.
Oh, McCoy left.
McCoy left.
But they have a lot of the same principles that will carry over for Wes Welker. And I think, to me, that he'll be very successful. He's in with a really cerebral quarterback in Peyton Manning. So that's going to elevate his game. I like that move for him. And that's, I think it's going to be shame on them. But they're, I don't know that the New England Patriots are going to really have a lot of offensive weapon. I don't think they're going to get what they hope to get out of Amendola.
Well, this is all fluid, and by the time this podcast is out, maybe this news will be out. I predicted on Wednesday that the Patriots are going to go and try and get Greg Jennings, or maybe they'll try to keep Brandon Lloyd, who didn't prove to be a great fit. But as of right now, I mean, Amendola is the best rostered player that they have.
Absolutely.
I mean, rostered yeah. wide receiver. At
if
least,
he
they
can stay healthy.
Right. But, you know, and I also find it interesting because we do talk about race a lot, Akbar, you and me. We indulge.
Bring it out.
I love talking about these things when it's just you and me, but I think it is interesting that the Welker-Amendola comparisons, I mean, immediately. So they'll go get – oh, he's a clone of him. Why? Because they're both white?
Well,
it does make sense because they're
both – They both went to Texas Tech.
No. And they were both – neither got drafted. So it does make sense in this case.
It always irritates me. I remember I was talking to somebody, and I was telling them that a kid coming out of Texas A&M, Ryan Swope, He runs a 4.34 just as fast as Tavon Austin.
Uh-huh.
And everybody all of a sudden wants to compare him to Wes Welker. I'm like, Wes Welker never ran a 4.3 anything in his life. I said,
first 30 yards he did.
Yeah, I bet. I said, how about, you know, making a comparison? When I look at him on film, he doesn't have the big name, but he has the same skill set as a guy like Michael Crabtree. And I think it's so easy when you're making comparisons, especially for the white wide receiver and the white skill position players, very easy to say, well, he's just like this other guy. But, you know, you can compare him to a Michael Crabtree. You don't have to just say Amendola is Wes Welker. I mean, just because they're in the same, you know, they're both white. I don't like that. I mean, but it happens.
Why are we comparing all these people to Texas Tech players? How did this start happening?
Because they both went to Texas Tech.
Right, so did Crabtree. And
yeah, well, it just so happens to be. Well, no, he wasn't. No, Crabtree is Texas Tech. Swope is Texas A&M.
Up to speed. Now there's Ty behind the glass. Black Ty, I do not believe, is on vacation. I think he's actually on assignment right now.
No, he's on vacation. He took the day off.
Oh, he took the day off?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
He's been working so hard
lately. Ty's back there. Rank, your thoughts on Welker. Does this hurt the Patriots or... You know, Bill Barnwell of Grantland wrote a compelling piece that's up there.
So did I.
Sort of saying that Amendola is, in fact, an upgrade based on, and it is interesting to note, Amendola coming in to the Patriots has better career numbers than Welker did when he moved up from Miami to New England. So there is that. He is a younger guy, and obviously Brady has a knack for making almost anybody who catches passes look pretty good. I don't know that there's that big a drop-off from Amendola to Welker, assuming good health. Rank, how say you?
Well, the good thing about Wes Welker going to the Denver Broncos is that Peyton Manning now has a new scapegoat for when they get bounced out of the playoffs mm-hmm. real quick. He can look. I can't wait for the first time in a playoff game that Welker just drops a ball and Manning's got to like throw off his chin strap and have that morose look on his face as he's walking off the field, because all this stuff seems good in theory. And if you're a fantasy guy, you're like, oh, this is great to have a lot of catches. That's great. And everything like that. I do agree with what you were saying before. The guys that leave the Patriots, Deion Branch, for instance, when he went to Seattle, it was a disaster. A lot of these guys leave the Patriots, don't really go on and produce in their new spots. But this is going to be an instance where if Wes Welker had gone to Cleveland, I would have said he's going to fall off the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. Going to Denver, he'll remain viable because Peyton Manning's there, although he's going to be frustrated with them at times. And the game where Welker and them are in New England, Peyton Manning will target him about 80 times. You'll have a huge game and all that stuff. So it'll be fine. It's a good move. He's becoming a role player, and he's trying to stick it to the Patriots, which is fine. You know, go out and do it. And I guess Adam Vinatieri is another guy who left the Patriots and did well. On the other side, what you were talking about here, when you're talking about Amendola, before Wes Welker got to New England, he got to New England in his fifth year. He had about less than 100 career catches. He had one career touchdown to his name, Wes Welker did. And then he gets to New England, and then he becomes a superstar. Well, you know what? It's the system. I'm tired of this, and I know Adam Schein said this in a column, too, where everybody's like, this is it. This is it for the Patriots. I don't buy that, because every time the Patriots lose somebody, they find somebody to come in and play and do just as well. And everybody goes, yeah, as long as Brady's there and as long as Belichick's there. I'm like, no. As long as Belichick is there, because when Tom Brady got hurt in 2008 – Matt Castle came in, and they went 11-5. And in most years,
I disagree with you so mightily on this. In most years,
that would have been a playoff team. So they won 11 games with Matt Castle.
Tom Brady is the irreplaceable piece, not Bill Belichick. Tom Brady is what makes it go. That defense, as we've talked about ad nauseum on this show.
Don't forget the system.
Right. The system is fine, but the defense is not good and has not been an elite defense. I'll use the adjective
But you said a couple of weeks ago there's no such thing as elite defenses anymore. It's just defenses
that can slow you down enough.
But
relative to the actually good defenses, the Patriots is subpar, and that's the reason they haven't won a Super Bowl in 8 years. That's supposed to be Belichick's wheelhouse, and it just hasn't panned out. I'm less concerned about the offense. It's time for the defense to pick up the slack. Now, speaking of defense, one name that is out there right now, and maybe we will, by the end of this very podcast, we'll know where he's going. Nnamdi Asamoah, a good pal, maybe the best pal there is, of one Akbar Bajabiamila. True or false?
True. He's the best man in my wedding. And, you know, played with him in Oakland and have seen his entire career. But I can't wait to see what happens with Nnamdi Asamoah, because I think whoever gets him will be forced because he's been exposed as to that he is a press corner and that teams know what they're getting in the type of valuable player that he is, that you're going to be forced to play him the way he likes to play. Because you're not just going to spend, you know, whatever amount of millions on him and say, we're still going to put you in your zone. Because you get coaches like that says, no matter what, this is my system. You have to play it the way we play it. Like, you have certain guys who have certain skills, skill set. You have to play him that way. And so wherever he ends up, I mean, it's going to be a major upgrade. And I think you're going to see the same, you know, Nnamdi Asamoah that you saw with the Oakland Raiders.
Do you think that, not well, first of all, the teams that seem to be out there, and you literally are awaiting a tweet from him at any, I mean, a text from him at any moment, and he's going to tell you it will be either the Niners or Saints, yes?
Well, yeah, the Niners, the Saints, and there's some other teams involved there as well.
Pittsburgh?
You know, well, no, not Pittsburgh. I think the Jets are interested. The Broncos have said some, they've had some interest. So, I mean, there are some teams out there that are really interested in Nnamdi right now.
The Jets, huh?
Yeah.
Don't let him do that to himself. Why would he go from the Raiders to the disappointing Eagles to the Jets, which are guaranteed to not be good for at least a year?
4 years.
I mean, guaranteed they're not going to be good.
Yeah, for 4 years.
Listen, don't let Nnamdi do that. Send a text to him right now and tell him your pal Dave says that
Dave
Damashek. Tell him. He might know the name.
Okay.
And you let him know. I say no, no, and no. The Niners. That's it, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. The Saints wouldn't be a bad landing spot either.
Well, he's very familiar with Rob Ryan. I played under Rob Ryan as well, and I know that Rob Ryan, in fact, the Ryans, they're really good in letting you do what you do best. I mean, they're not, you know,
but not so good at having actually great defenses, or at least Rob.
Well, Rob is, you know, the last good defense he had was, well, when the Oakland Raiders went 2-14 and they were ranked number 2. Well, I guess it really doesn't care if you rank number 2 and the team is 2-14. But having said that, Rob Ryan does have a very good defensive scheme. And for one reason or another, it just hasn't panned out in the NFL so far for him, except for that 1 year.
Now, let's talk about Nnamdi real quick.
Yep.
Because I'd love for this would be the greatest. Do you see how this would be good for us, Rank?
I do.
If Nnamdi Asamoah texts Akbar and breaks the news on this podcast, it would make us legit. Don't you see? It would put us on the map.
Mm-hmm. I got to keep refreshing my iPhone to make sure that this thing, you know, is because I'm tired of guys, some of these other guys.
Remember when Ahmad Bradshaw proposed to Mrs. Huxtable on the NBC NFL pregame show with Bob Costas back in the late 80s or whatever
right,
that was?
Right, right.
Remember mid to late 80s? That made that show relevant.
Yeah,
same thing for us.
If
we get
Nnamdi.
You don't remember? You didn't watch Cosby Show?
No, you said in the mid-80s. I mean, I was
all
like
all right,
five.
Again, more showing off from you. So what?
Angie Hyman.
You and I, I'll tell you, let me tell you something. You and I are going to go round and round.
Nice. Well, you were saying what, Adam?
Angie Hyman was proposed to on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, see?
But I think that show was already established, but
you get the point. You fellas get the point. So Nnamdi, what you're saying is, practically speaking, for the way he likes to play, we thought that 2 years ago, before he signs with the Eagles, there was a debate there, Revis or Nnamdi. It was less clear. And now Nnamdi, what's become clear is he can still be effective. But what you're saying is he needs to play physical, bump the guy inside of the 5 yards.
I mean, if you look at the way Nnamdi's built, he's a 6'2.5", 6'3", corner. He's got go-go gadget arms where he's got the ability to jam you right up front.
Right.
And he doesn't have to be pressed up on you, and that's the greatest advantage. He can still be a little bit off on you, press you with the long arm, and then keep it. He's got good speed that he can keep up with those guys. But if he stymies you on the line of scrimmage, it's very hard. You know, as coaches will always say, reroute the guy, press him up, and that's what makes him so good. And I think when you get the challenge of who's better between Revis and Nnamdi, and is Nnamdi really good, and, you know, people have kind of thrown him to the wayside. Well, it was the same thing. I always use this example. If you were to take some of your better pass rushers in the last 10 years, you know, Javon Kurse name comes up. Jason Taylor name comes up. There are a bunch of guys who fit that kind of prototype of great pass rushers. If you were to try to make them a run stopper and put them from a pass rushing defensive end into a heavy five or a straight up lineman and make them into a 3-4 defensive end, they would fail miserably. But doesn't mean that they're not great defensive ends. they have a certain skill set that makes them very good. They know how to get to the quarterback. And so I think it's the same thing that happens with corners. You get guys who are really good on off, and then you get guys who are really good up front and to press. And that's what Nnamdi was playing out of position.
All right, fine. Then why explain this? Yep. Isn't the player on some level culpable for making that choice? Doesn't Nnamdi, and I'm not just saying him, I'm talking about, you know, myriad guys. Free agency, by the way, as a general rule, everybody gets so swept up at in it this time of year. But again, here's something else I will cynically point out. The teams that don't get involved in it, typically, the Packers, Steelers, Ravens, the Giants, the Patriots. Patriots sometimes will dabble. Sometimes they'll make a big splash. But for the most part, they aren't really big active grab name guys in free agency. Those are the teams that are always in the playoffs. And it's mystifying to me that everybody's still, this thing about Jeff Ireland. Hey, credit to Jeff Ireland. He's really shaking up his philosophy and signing all these guys. Yeah, you know why? Because he's desperate. He knows if they go under 500 again this year, that will be the end of his tenure in Miami. He has to make a desperate play.
So you're
play.
Saying are the Maybe players culpable? Work out, you're saying
but,
are the players culpable?
But right. So I'm just saying that in general, free agency is a foolish venture. I say, guys, I tweeted the other day, GMs that are active or overly active in free agency, throwing the money all around, are football's equivalent of Dave Kingman and Rob Deere and Mark Reynolds, namely guys in baseball who go up to the plate swinging from the heels for home runs. They bat 190, but they hit 25 or 30 home runs. They either strike out, and they strike out way more than they hit home runs, but at least you say, well, see, well, we did get some home runs. That is not a good way to operate. That's not a consistent that's not a recipe for consistent success in the NFL. Witness, like I just said, the teams that don't do it are the ones that are. So, that being said, I don't put this on Nnamdi, but why do guys then choose to go to teams that are bad fits for them?
Well,
No.
That's totally wrong. What ends up happening typically is a coach will get in there and say, oh, yeah, we love you. Oh, we've got the perfect system for you. We'll do exactly. They'll sell it just like a recruiting trip. And then all of a sudden, and it happens all the time, they'll tell you one thing, and before you get, when you get into training camp, they say, hey, look, we're running this. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're going to play like this. Fine. Trust me. This is my defense. My defense has worked with this player, that player, and they'll name drop a bunch of these names of guys who went on, were really successful, but doesn't mean that they have the same skill set. And you've seen it time in and time out where, for example, a guy that I'm close to, well, kind of from a distance, is Aaron Kampman through my brother. I know Aaron Kampman. And Dom Capers
from a distance. I love
so
this.
Dom Capers comes in. Remember, this guy had 17 double-digit sacks. He was producing out him and Kabir. We're pushing out those numbers. Kabir's out. Kampman stays. And what does Dom Capers come in? I'm going to stand you up and make you an outside linebacker. Are you kidding me? You just took the guy who was able to produce 17 sacks. I'm telling you, from a guy who's had 2 sacks, it's very hard to get to 17 sacks. And this guy goes out and he becomes a complete failure at the outside linebacker position.
Mm-hmm. Because your career would have had to have been 30 years to get 17 sacks.
Or 40 years. But what I'm saying is that he stood up,
right,
and that wasn't his position. You can't do that to Aaron Kampman. You just kicked him out of the league. You Dom Capers single-handedly pushed Aaron Kampman out of the league.
You know, as a general, here's something else I was thinking about.
So, but before you get to that point, so when I talk to guys who are free agents, when I talk to Nnamdi, I say, look, man, you got to make sure you look that coach in the eye and make sure he's not going to BS you and sell you a whole bunch of this and then turn around and say, no, we're going to play it this way. You're like, dude, I didn't sign up for this. And then he said, oh, this guy has a prima donna. He's not stepping up for the team. Like, dude, if you're not going to use me the right way, don't sell it to me. Don't sell it to me.
I hear you. I would be inclined. You know what my sales pitch would be if I were the team about to lose a guy and I wanted to retain him? I would just take out photographs and say, and then what about this guy? Look at what happened to his career when he left. And look at this guy when he went as a free agent. He took money to go to that team that might have been a better fit for him. I would just say, listen, all right, you maybe aren't going to make as much, but look, we have a good thing going here. You are unwise to leave. And that would be my sales pitch, because you really do then Because, and I get it, the players don't care as much about winning and, you know, loyalty to a city as the fans of that city
care.
Well,
no, they care about winning, maybe not the loyalty part.
Right. They don't care about but you wear that logo, and that logo means a great deal to all the people in this city. I know the players don't care as much, but practically, all that moving around, then you just become a mercenary. And every 2 years, especially the way free agency works now in the NFL, it's not like Major League Baseball, where for better or worse, you sign a bad deal, like you're there. And good luck if you're the GM of a baseball team trying to dump a heavy contract that you wish you wouldn't have made. I mean,
Vernon Wells.
Right. Vernon Wells with the Hey, I mean, listen, there are a million of those.
Getting paid by the New York Mets.
Like you're going to get cut. I mean, you could be LaRon Robinson and be kicked to the curb year after. So now you're just constantly looking for new teams.
But you know what? It's fantasy football. Madden football has made it to where you've become desensitized to movement. I don't know that movement makes it, because nobody's really looking for one person to stay with one team anymore, because that's not the way the NFL is anymore. Guys are moving from team to team to team, not necessarily chasing dollars, but really, you know, fans are going to get excited. Oh, we're going to get this person? Great. Oh, we're going to get this. I mean, they could move Steven Jackson 3 times in the next 3 years, and every time he moves to a new place, somebody's going to get excited. Because it's like getting a new guy on your roster on Madden.
But where's the soul in that if you're Steven Jackson?
Players don't play for teams now. Players play for the Shield, for the National Football League. That's who they play for.
I know.
It's like a big corporation.
It really is.
You're going down to our Atlanta branch.
Yes, yes, exactly. You're going to our Atlanta. You're just more.
That's a great way to look at it.
And that's the thing that always upsets me, because earlier in this week we did a thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick because he got released by the Bills. And, you know, I was reasoning that this is good for America because, you know, he can go out and do something productive for our country instead of being a bad quarterback, because he's so smart. He's got other skills. And I came up with like 10 things to that he could do, like would be great vocations for him. And somebody really got butthurt, and they gave me a private message on my Facebook profile page. And they're like, you know what? This is somebody's career, somebody's job. You shouldn't be joking around. This is a serious business. I'm like, you know what? He made millions of dollars. He's going to go to another team. There is no way he enters his football season with it. It is. It's just, you're going to be in our Oakland branch. Okay. You're uprooted.
Listen, the walls have been broken down. I have said all the time. I say it all the time. It is not good for the NFL when you on Twitter and stuff, when these teammates, when Torrey Smith and Ravens, you're the defending Super Bowl champions, are like, hey, good for you, fella. Hey, Ellerby, glad you made all that loot going to some other lesser team. I mean, it feels wrong, and it seems out of touch with the frame of mind of the average fan.
How about the Ravens? They don't have anybody left.
Boy,
over
oh boy!
There.
I mean, listen.
Well,
that's a complete strip down.
They have their two tight ends that are young and capable.
What are their
names?
Torrey
Smith is good. Ed Dixon. And the better one.
Dennis Pitta.
My name escaped me. Yes, Dennis Pitta, who is, who's developed into a nice security blanket for Flacco. Torrey Smith is a potential star. Ray Rice is very nice and in his prime. But I agree with you. Outside of Suggs and Nada, what's to be excited about? Jimmy Smith is going to come on maybe in the secondary there. I think this team is in trouble. You might really see an inversion of the AFC North this year. I mean, the Bengals are going to win the AFC North. That's the way it is. I mean, that's
over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Over the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Yes. Look at that team. The only question on the team is Andy Dalton. And the one thing you don't say about him, he's not going to be a Mark Sanchez throwing 20 picks. That's not going to happen. He's just unspectacular, but he's fine. But I'll tell you this, too. It's interesting to think that the one guy who would really maybe elevate that offense and take it to a Super Bowl level is Carson Palmer. He was maybe a little bit of a pick machine, but if you think about it, Carson Palmer with the bigger arm might be the difference for a team like the Bengals.
With
A.J. Green. And, you know, but I really like that team, and they're doing the right thing. They're not going out and throwing money all over the place. Instead, they're trying to retain the guys that they have there.
But didn't you just say the teams that don't get involved in free agency? And when you look at the track record of the Baltimore Ravens, and you
you're really hard pressed to go through their drafts.
I understand. You have to take a step back some
find
season.
Guys who are you're like, wow, you know what? They really missed the boat here. You know, I think of like Kyle Bowler, maybe Mark Clayton, but for the most part, they draft.
They're great in the draft.
The second wave of free agency is going to hit us. They're going to make some small minor moves to tweak their roster. That's all they need is tweaks. That organization is so well run that there is really there's really no reason to believe that they're going to fall off the table. But isn't it funny that the draft
is a more dependable option than free agency because it's counterintuitive. The free agents who you've seen do it on NFL fields would be like, well, we know exactly what we're getting with that guy. Why do those work out less than teams that draft well? It's an odd thing, but
it seems like, I don't know, Akbar. Let's ask this question: if a guy does get a big money deal, isn't it a sense of like, you know what, I've made it, I made my big money, and now I'm kind of more complacent than a rookie coming in trying to prove himself?
No, because I think players feel like that they get compensated for what they've done. You know, now teams may see it as that they compensate them for what you potentially, but you only get paid based off of what you do. But when a player gets paid, there's a big burden on his shoulder that he has to live up to it. I don't care who you are and where you, I mean.
So it hurts him a little bit because they're thinking about it too much?
No. Well, no, because when you get that, that means that the team is saying, we now believe in you. You feel that I got paid for what I've done. So there's two different mindsets here. But the pressure, and when you walk into the locker room, everybody knows that you got that big paycheck, is that I've got to perform big time. You don't go, oh, I got it made now. I'm big time. You very rarely do you see a guy just tanking in like that. Very rarely.
All right, let's get to this. Brass tacks. Who has been the winner or the winners so far in free agency? Who have been the losers? I'll start with you, Akbar.
Okay, first off, let me tell you something. I was too young. In fact, I don't know that I was even born really during this time. But I do know that I've seen a lot of film on Ali and Frazier. Mm-hmm. And they had some classic, beatdowns. And when I look at the San Francisco 49ers and I look at the Seattle Seahawks, mm-hmm. and I look at the NFC West, they have been going at it. It's been rumble in the jungle. They've been going at it. And I think that the winner of this whole thing, to me, in my opinion, has been the Seattle Seahawks. They have really come up. They have assured themselves, and they keep going. And when they got Cliff Avril, I just jumped. I said, shut the front door.
Listen, I find that we talked about it on episode 137, and I'll repeat myself. That rivalry now. Forget the other. This is the greatest. This is where it all
is at
NFC West.
It's called the What's Your Deal. that's going to be the name of it.
Yeah,
What's Your Deal?
That one goes all the way back to a college, when they were college coaches.
They are making tick-for-tack moves. And so next up right now is the San Francisco 49ers. They're on the clock for this fight because the biggest thing is, well, how are they going to respond to having a Bruce Irvin and a Cliff Avril on the defensive line, both extremely great pass rushers, and then you pick up now Percy Harvin. To me, it's big.
Morgan Walsh hit me up, listener, and said, what do you think if you could only watch one division in 2013, which would it be? Of course, my answer is NFC West, but the only other one that's out there, NFC South. That might be the toughest division in 2013. Consider the Saints are coming back with the biggest chip on in the history of football on their shoulder, coming back with Breeze. And who knows, maybe they'll have Namdi. They are making some additions. They just added Keenan Lewis, late of the Pittsburgh Steelers, a massive loss. And as a Steelers fan, this one disgusts me because it's the only one I said. That's the guy that they can't lose. James Harrison, you could see that 2 years ago that he wasn't going to be back after, once this deal ran out. There were a lot of guys out there. Willie Colon kept getting hurt. The guy who I didn't want them to lose was Keenan Lewis, and now they have. So the Steelers are in trouble, and so are the Ravens. More reason to think that the Cincinnati Bengals are the class of that division. But anyway, the NFC South, the Saints. The Falcons now have Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson, even though they're almost the same age, by any measure, is the superior runner to Michael Turner.
Absolutely.
Steven Jackson, I got news for you. Steven Jackson's on his way to the Hall of Fame, and he joined me.
Oh, okay.
He was my first ever guest on in the sports car. Hey, Ty, when you post this, be a dear. Post the sports car with me and Steven Jackson driving around when we talked about free agency and breakfast meats and other stuff like that. But anyway, So now you have the Falcons, a team that was a play away from the Super Bowl, and they bring back Brent Grimes. Although I don't know if I love that move, coming off an Achilles.
Do you want to see my Achilles injury? I'll show it to you. That's a really.
I would like to see that at some point. We don't have to do it right now. This is an audio show.
But I'll tell you that I do like the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, what they've done, because they're on the cusp of getting to the Super Bowl. And you needed somebody who can get it to you right now. You needed a proven back, and they got that with Steven Jackson. Even if they have him for a year or two, that's about what they have, the life of what they have with Roddy White and Julio and all those guys. But Brent Grimes, to me, you can come back. Surgery is so much different. The medical field is so much different now that he's going to – and remember, it happened in week one. It took me 7 months before I could start walking. He's already – by the time the season started, he would have already had 11 months to recover from his injury. So he'll be more than fine.
All right, so let's say that is true. That team's going to be terrific. The Buccaneers are very interesting. Big questions about them, of course, with Josh Freeman. But Freeman has no excuse, at least. At least you could say that. When you consider Mike Williams and Vincent Jackson and Doug Martin, that offense should be gangbusters. And remember, they go and get Carl Nix before 2012 in free agency. He gets hurt, so that line should be better. And now they throw alongside of Mark Barron, they go and get Deshaun Goldston. So, I mean, that duo of safeties should shore things up now against the heavy pass teams like the Falcons and the Saints. And you know, practically be able to slow down Jimmy Graham at least a little bit. And then you talk about the Carolina Panthers, who I'm not guaranteeing are going to be a good team, but they're not going to be a bum team. They're not going to be abject junk at this point, I don't think. That team has no – I don't think it has any junk in it. There's no walkovers. Oh, that's two easy wins right there for our team. That's going to be a brutal division as well. But, yeah, I'm with you, Akbar. The winners so far, I think they're tied neck and neck. I think the Seahawks maybe get it by a nose because of exactly like you say, Cliff Averill ain't jive to throw him in there like that and to get Percy Harvin. But I really do like the addition of Anquan Boldin, what he adds now to that team. I mean, if you think you would invert the roles that you expect out of a wide receiver and a tight end, which is, you know, more sure-handed kind of guy over the middle. That's what Anquan Boldin is. Vernon Davis is more like a wide receiver, really, with his ability to get downfield.
I wonder what they're going to do with the running game in San Francisco. I wonder because, I mean, Frank
Boldin
Gore,
makes him better there, though,
yeah,
too, right?
They do. He does. He does. He really does. I mean, with him and Crabtree, to me, that's a dynamic duel.
Egad! And so, now, all of a sudden, Mario Manningham goes back to being where he should be appropriately. He's your third wide receiver. Think about that. He's your third wide receiver. LaMichael James now is going into his second year. So Frank Gore doesn't have to. I mean, rare will be the game that he has
and to. And he started
have
to get his
carries.
Confidence. What I saw in LaMichael James, because I saw in his eyes and his body language that he wasn't very confident running the ball and, you know, just kind of getting acclimated to the whole NFL thing. But towards the end and into the playoffs, when they starting to sprinkle him in there, he was starting to get a little confident there.
And another good thing about Boldin too is it is a trade to just fight the Seahawks, because the Seahawks have those big physical cornerbacks that they need receivers who can battle off the offensive line. Now you look at Boldin, he's, you know, he might not be the greatest receiver, he might not, you know, be at the peak of his career, but he's a guy who can battle with those guys. And it's a move designed to completely battle Seattle.
I agree.
And that's the thing that I like, is those two teams are looking
at
each other.
I love them responding to each other. And, you know, I think the Niners, there's still a chance. I will not be surprised in the least if we hear 2 minutes from now, guess what, the Niners did pull the trigger and get Darrelle Revis. I could see that happening. Or Namdi, either way. That's exactly, I agree with you. That's what they're doing, this arms race between these two teams. And I keep saying, and I'm not going to spend any time on it today because I talk about my love affair with the Rams because I see them as a team on the rise too. But what do you think about the other one? Drew Stanton, very quickly. Drew Stanton is now expected to do take the reins there and make that team go for the Cardinals.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Ugh. Drew Stanton.
He hasn't thrown a pass in like 6 years, right?
But it's okay. Ryan Lindley is better than him.
Wow.
What? Hey, your guy?
I've told you. Michigan State. I've told you. Michigan State grooms backup QBs like nobody's business. They need to change their team name to the Michigan State instead of the Spartans, the Not Startans, or something like that.
The Not Startans.
or the Clipboards or something like that. I mean, that's what they do. Tony Banks, oh, Brian one. Hoyer. You have two. Actually, I didn't even realize you have two Michigan State guys.
That was pretty good.
I say cute things sometimes. Now, listen. So, I mean, is there any doubt? Now, here's the one thing about I think the Falcons are good, but those guys beating each other up, they're not. No one out of that division is getting the number one seed. No one's having home field advantage in the NFC South now. You're going to have to go to, I mean, I guess the
Green Bay?
Green Bay, probably, unless you're buying what the Bears have been doing, trying to tweak that offensive line. I don't know that that team is much better than where it was. I mean, Martellus Bennett is fine, but he seems like a head case and can go either way in the wrong situation. He might be one of those guys who's a complete bust. And can't you just see Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, and Martellus Bennett, three guys who can be a little dicey mentally? It just doesn't seem like a great fit there. Detroit, another situation like that. It feels like they're robbing Peter to pay Paul with the moves they're making there. Reggie Bush is a fine addition, but it doesn't fix their primary need, which is stopping teams from throwing the ball all over them. Why are they not going out and getting Nnamdi or making a bid for Darrelle Revis or for any of these DBs? Why wouldn't they go and get a Keenan?
I don't think anybody wants to go there, to be quite honest with you.
You really think well, I guess you would know. Do players sit around and talk and say, do not sign with that team?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the buzz on Jim Schwartz?
I mean, you look and see what a team has and what kind of pieces they have, and you say, look, can this team win? I mean, that's one of the biggest things. I mean, if you think about players who are actually looking to land a place, I'm not just going to get stuck. I mean, because nobody wants to be in a losing locker room. That sucks. I mean,
then why would anybody sign with Jacksonville then? Because that seems like the worst of the worst.
If they're going to pay me, yeah. If you're one of those guys, you can go, look, I've never had a big contract. I need some money. You know, this may be my only time to get some millions and get that M, you know, in my name. You get that M in your name. It's like, you know what? I'll chalk it up for, you know, a couple of years, and I'm going to go down to Jacksonville. But, I mean, players don't want to. Trust me. If you ask a player that they had an option to, look, play on a Super Bowl team or make millions over, more than likely, guys are going to tell you they want to win. It's the guys, again, the guys who haven't been paid. If you've been paid, you're looking to win. If you haven't been paid, you're like, I might just go take the M.
What about if you're Keenan Lewis? All right, so he has a nice size deal for a corner, a little bit less than I think the market people probably thought 3-4 weeks ago what some of the top corners were going to get. But all right, 5 years, $25 million. What? How much money? Do the Saints give him a check today? Does he walk out of there and can he go to the bank and put how much money can he put in the bank right now?
You talking from a signing bonus? It depends on how they prorate it. But typically, how much did he get of that is a guarantee?
I'm not sure.
Okay, it depends. Something like that, Mike. They might say, hey, look, you know, $8 million, $10 million of this is guaranteed. And they would prorate that over the life of the contract, which would be 5 years. And so they would say, okay, well, then here you go. Here's $2 million for this year.
And he walks out of there today. Goodbye, Saints. I'll see you in a couple weeks for minicamp.
Yeah, I'll see you. Here's your check. He'll get in a couple weeks. He'll get $2 million after taxes. You know, they take, you know, I don't know where you probably.
If that was you, what would you do with the check? Would you put it in your back pocket? Would you put it in your wallet? Would you have a handler have one of those metal attache cases with the handcuff and put it around like that or what?
No. I would go straight to the bank and I would call my financial advisor immediately and try to say, look, how much of this stuff can I put away now? Mm-hmm. I want to save this thing, put this thing away now.
That's like the difference. I would go straight to a check cashing place. I'd go to one of those
that's dangerous. There have been some players who didn't know too well, you know, because it's different. Some guys, you know, come from hard backgrounds and, you know, you go to those nick cashing or sometimes, you know, on the 1st and 15th, if you grew up poor, you know, the 1st and the 15th, you know, welfare checks and all this other kind of stuff. And you go to one of those places and it's shicey. I mean, because first of all, they're going to probably look to try to get you. You know, somebody's going to they're going to call one of them, you know, them boys from around the corner and come get you. It's like, hey, this dude's got a lot of money.
I never thought of that. That's a good crime. That's a good system there.
I'll tell you one thing,
so
too.
So you work at the check-casting place and never, say, like, hey, the guy just left here.
Never
with a lot
go
of
to your hometown if you grow up in a bad neighborhood, a poor area, and try to cash a big check, because they're going to look at you. They're going to call all the people in the behind the window. And they're like, I'm sorry. No, it's happened. It's happened
this
to me.
Terrible.
It's happened to me. And they go like this. They go, I'm sorry. We can't deposit. We can't cash your check. I'm like, no, it's my money. I'm sorry. It's too big. What? What do you mean? Like, it's a check.
So it's $2 million, in other words. I would. Don't people buy their mom a house or something?
No,
is that the first thing you do?
No. I mean, they always say athletes do that. I mean, players eventually want to get to that point where they can buy their parents a house. But most of the time, players start spending on themselves first. Mm-hmm. And then they try to, you know, help everybody else with their little emergency rent money, little car money here, you know, all the small expenses. But the big house comes typically after, you know, you've got a real contract.
So what else, Rank? What are your expectations? The biggest name out there still is Greg Jennings. Where do you think he lands?
I want to see him do the spite move as well. I want him to go to Minnesota.
I don't like that. You know, I've spoken out
against
that.
Why would he do that? Why would he downgrade in quarterback? You might as well just stay in Green Bay then. If that's the case, mm-hmm. you're going
to
kill your career and take a downgrade. Look,
just
Wes
to
Welker,
make a point, that's
Wes
cutting
Welker,
your nose to cut
to me,
your,
Wes Welker made
face.
The best move. At least when he made a move from quarterback, he's still, I mean, in essence, you could call it kind of an upgrade or clean
wow.
swap.
It's a move of spite.
I mean, to me, but I mean.
That's what I like.
I like that spite.
Can you go to Ponder from Rogers to Ponder? That doesn't even sound right.
No, and the rumor is that, get excited, Vikings fans.
That's
it
like
might
Evander
not be.
Holyfield moving in from his 50-bedroom mansion to moving into my house. That's like a downgrade.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
I think that, the word is that Matt Cassel might wind up in Minnesota. Woo!
I think he did.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he signed. Yep. Cassel has signed there. Yikes. That's the one gig he could actually win, because Christian Ponder ain't exactly – I mean, yeah, I think Christian Ponder's about to get exposed if they don't do something very exciting in free agency here to get a guy like Greg Jennings or something like that. The other place I'd like to see Greg Jennings is Buffalo. That's a team to me that – I mean, I know that they might go Tavares Jackson, but if you would give Stevie Johnson another guy there, and C.J. Spiller, at least there's a chance to be dynamic on offense. And the defense should be not so bad either. What do we think about that, though? They get rid of Fitzpatrick. You mentioned that. As of now, it's Tavares Jackson. What do you think about that?
No, they're drafting a
They're taking Geno Smith, is what
they have
think.
To be.
Is that what you think? Or do you think they'll take Ryan Nassib if they don't go?
No, I don't know that they'll take Ryan Nassib. I think Ryan Nassib is going to be a guy that – They may go
gone.
No. Ryan Nassib is going to go be further down the
yeah
the
in the
line.
Second round. But Doug Marrone, his college coach, could wait, grab right. him at the top of the
yeah,
second.
Yeah, I think you go Geno Smith. I mean, the only thing that could be the kicker here is if number 7, which is the Arizona Cardinals, get up and try to, or not get up, but they grab him before they fall to 8. But I think to me that Geno Smith,
what a horrible
and
move.
I've been saying all along that Geno Smith belongs with the Buffalo Bills, because he's a guy that knows how to play in the cold weather. He's mm-hmm. an East Coast quarterback, and he can operate in Buffalo. And I think that, you know, with his skill set, he would be perfect to not only build around, but he could be the quarterback. I mean, they haven't had a good quarterback. When have they had a good quarterback? I mean, since Jim Kelly. I mean, there hasn't been anybody, and I think that Geno Smith, you know, could really build his skill set without a big expectation, because nobody's expecting him to win right away in Buffalo, and he can have time to really develop and be a very
wow,
solid quarterback.
But our pal, our colleague, Move the Sticks, Daniel Jeremiah, always points out, as a personnel guy, you take a quarterback early in your regime, in the first year, second year, that's it for you. That's your QB, and if he fails, you fail. You're out of a job. Scott Pioli, who's been doing a lot of good stuff this week on NFL Network, found that out with Matt Cassel. I mean, obviously, there are a million examples of this
scare
around
the money
NFL.
Don't get money, though. That's what they say. Money don't get money.
But look, you know, let me just throw this at you. What if the Bills let Geno Smith pass? Who's taking him before he comes back around at the top of the second round?
Will move back.
But who? Who's going to take Geno Smith in the first round once you clear that top 8 or maybe 10 teams?
Well, like the Browns did last year. I'm not saying the Browns will do it, but the Browns did that last year. They got Trent Richardson, and then when Brandon Whedon fell all the way down at the end of the first round,
they traded back into it to make a deal, and that's what will happen here. Buffalo will move back into the first round. Arizona, maybe. I don't know. One of those
All right. As anybody, last question, and then we're going to throw it over to the Around the League Debate Club and let them hash it out. Today, it's Mark Sessler joined by special guest Handsome Hank. How about that? In for Hanzu. So that'll be fun to listen to.
Is Hanzu on his way out?
Who knows? Who knows what's going on?
Their attitude of not showing up for the podcast anymore is getting a little disturbing.
It's an attack. It's a slap in the face. But let me just ask you fellas this. Has anybody who was not in Super Bowl contention made themselves now a contender? Or has any team that was a contender last week, do they now appear like, wow, they're doomed? There's no way they can win a Super Bowl, or they might really struggle to get into the playoffs, even though we're used to seeing that team there. I'll start with you, Rank.
Well, I already consider the Chiefs a Super Bowl contender since I picked them last year.
I like that. Oh, so, that's what we forgot about the Niners, too, in this arms race is Glenn Dorsey. That's not, that's sort of an by the way move for them. But Glenn Dorsey in the right system with, I keep saying it, but Jim Harbaugh and that staff, I feel like is the best in the NFL now.
Yeah.
I know they've only been around for 2 years, but
right.
I still think that's the best one going there. If they're going to get anything out of a kid who was, what, the third overall pick, the fifth pick?
The eighth overall.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was eighth
overall.
He was
that far down.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming from a good SEC program and all that stuff, if anybody can turn him into something, it would be, I would expect it to be that defense. But anyway, all right, go ahead. So he leaves the Chiefs is the point. But then they go out and they get DeVito from the Jets. So,
The Chiefs have done a pretty
good
job.
Swap, yeah. And Poe, you figure that duo now should be pretty nice.
When you consider, I don't think the Chargers will be very good. The Raiders aren't going to be very good. The Chiefs are going to be challenging for the AFC West. Should be in the playoffs this year. I think they've done a pretty good job of upgrading over the last couple of weeks. Nobody, I will disagree. I know you guys are thinking that the Ravens have really stripped themselves by letting all these guys go.
They have. What do you mean? I think that's happened. There's no
one,
question.
But you know what? They've proven that they've been able to reload. They've been very consistent during John Harbaugh's tenure there with Ozzie Newsome. I think the Ravens will be right back in it.
All
guys,
right.
You can talk about Cincinnati's
team. I don't think they're going 6-10. But let's just keep in mind, that Ravens team was not especially good in spite of their record. They were 9-2 at one point, or 10-2 even. They were. I remember saying it, and a lot of other people were saying, this has got to be the worst 9-2, 10-2 team I've ever seen.
They stripped it. But Ozzie Newsome did something I think is smart. And it's that, look, you realize that you needed to get rid of guys now that, look, you got your Super Bowl. That aura might last a little bit over. Start rebuilding now for a couple of years down the road because, they have to strip everything. And you see that right now. They're stripping everything now and they're rebuilding. And to me, that's a smart move. Rather than trying to say, hey, look, let's keep on to some of these old heads and see if we can get another one and repeat. Because everybody falls into pressure of, oh, now we got to repeat. It's a whole new. Once March 12th hits around, all new season.
Especially the standard in Baltimore, if you're the Ravens, isn't we have to be a contender every year. Absolutely not. Akbar, let's say, the Miami Dolphins made themselves a player now, or can they? Because
that's what I was getting ready to say.
They can challenge the Patriots.
I would say Paul's there. But I would say that they could make a very big splash in the AFC. Just because, I think Mike Wallace is a really big talent. He can blow the top off any defense. He's a really fast wide receiver. I'd still like to see him better in his route running as far as being more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, all in all, I think that he's going to help that team. So
I think in the short term, but they definitely – so I'm having it both ways here. I think there's a chance in year two with Philbin that team can make a run at least at the Patriots.
He's a stickler for discipline too.
Yeah, I like, listen, watching, for what it's worth, watching the reality show last
HBO.
Watching that last year and everything, I thought, boy, this Philbin, I felt bad for him, his personal tragedy, he's just not up for this gig, his demeanor ain't right, but then you see that team really started to put it together by last year, and it would appear that they really hit right on Ryan Tannehill, who in most years, most NFL seasons in history, Ryan Tannehill would have been held up as, what a rookie we got here, he just happened to be in that all-time rookie QB class, so people are ignoring him, but the fact is, look at what he did with Brian Hartline as his best weapon. Now he's got Mike Wallace legit. And I guess they're going to probably, we're not sure where Jake Long, it looks like he'll wind up with the Rams. But if Jake Long winds up back with the Dolphins, then done and done. But if he doesn't, then they probably have to do something in the draft in the first round to address that. If not, though, they could also get a guy like Cordarrell Patterson out of Tennessee, and all of a sudden they're
That's going to be interesting to see how they draft.
I mean, if they don't feel we have to take a left tackle there, because they did take Jonathan Martin out of Stanford last year. So if they feel like, yeah, he can jump over there and play the left side, if they think that and they could add another dynamic piece to that offense, I mean, listen, that defense we know for New England ain't the greatest in the world. So I really think they could make some hay there.
I really do think, too, with that, that what is it, the 11th pick that they're going to have, end up having in the in the second round, I think that they're going to take a team like, a player like Jonathan Franklin from UCLA. I really like him. They need a running back. Now, they don't have Reggie Bush. I know that they have the
They have Daniel Thomas, They took Lamar Miller, too,
right.
from Miami.
I think they need a guy who can really make a splash, and I think Franklin could be that guy. I really do.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, listen, it's an exciting time, and it's also weird because all the perennial great teams are very quiet this week, and this is the opportunity for all the teams that have been down and out for so long, like the Browns and Dolphins and everybody, get all excited and get their fans all excited, and we'll see how it all pans out. But it is interesting. Jeff Ireland, 1 year from now, will either not have a job or he'll be hailed as, wow, what a genius. It'll be interesting to see which one that is, but we'll wait 50 or so weeks before we do that. In the meantime, thank you, Akbar Baja Biamila. Any text from Namdi?
No, nothing
yet. Did you tell him what I said?
Yeah, you know what? I think he's probably going through physicals right
now. Did you tell him what I said?
Well, no, he's not by his phone.
I said not the Jets. That's a ridiculous. Tell him he in green. It's the same thing. It's like Superman. It clearly doesn't agree with him, the color green.
Right. No, that's
tell
not his favorite
that.
Color. I will. Once
what do you mean, I
physical.
Will? I want you to do it.
He's taking his physical.
With whom?
With who?
who's the physical with?
I don't know.
You do know.
I don't know. I'm not getting a response.
I'm breaking it. He signed with the 49ers.
You know what he's doing now. He's going to the Saints is what he's doing. Can't you tell that that's I know how to read Akbar.
I don't know.
Akbar, he thinks it's the Saints. That's where he's getting his physical. Okay. We know that.
That's where
he's getting his physical.
I say I'm going to be the one to break the news. Because I don't want any of these other slappies.
Look how he doesn't want to make eye contact.
Anymore. No, I don't want.
All of a sudden, he doesn't like eye contact because he knows Damashek knows the score.
No, I'm not saying anything.
I want to say to Namdi that there's a great place called Coquette in New Orleans. Tell him Dave sent you. Jay-Z and I had dinner there over Super Bowl week the same night, so you know it's good.
Can I make a bold statement?
Yes.
Even though you didn't ask me to make a bold prediction.
Make it.
Next year, they're going to be saying that Namdi Asamoah is the best corner in the NFL. Because, you know, it's like kind of like up and down, the stock market.
So you're saying the best man in your wedding is going to be the best player.
Oh, you're saying, oh, no. This is totally has nothing to do with our relationship. Did you see how he just tried to undercut that statement right there?
I'm not undercutting it. I just wanted to point out.
So you think Rob Ryan really knows exactly what to do with Namdi in 2013?
That makes more sense.
Yeah. I mean, he knew what to do with him. In 2008
so
as well.
I was right about the Saints. You see that, Rank?
Good job.
I sucked them in. You see how I got them there? One last thing,
yeah.
Akbar. So you really don't know the Cosby Show?
Of course I know the Cosby Show.
Right,
are you serious?
Right. I thought you were saying you'd never seen it.
No, you said the proposal. And you said it happened in the mid-80s. I said, well, I don't know if I remember that exact show. I mean, you know. So,
all right. So you know the endeavors of Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable and his family.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. I'm just making sure. I don't know anybody who doesn't know that show, so it would be weird if you didn't.
Keisha and I are real good friends.
Oh, is that right?
No, I don't know, Keisha.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen.
All right. I'm out of here.
There he goes. Akbar Baja Biamila, one of the best. Follow him on Twitter. Akbar Baja. Is that right?
Underscore Baja.
I don't like the underscore. Akbar underscore Baja.
He's got like 100,000 followers now. Like,
yeah, how'd that happen? That's what I want to know.
Should I change it to the Admiral?
Yes. Just go. Let us know about Namdi. Right. And congratulate him on the Big Easy. All right, Rank. That's it. But you see, I'm right about that. I'm right. Do you think I'm right?
I hope so.
You think it's the Saints?
Or else Ty is going to have to go and change this.
I kind of prefer it to be the Niners just for what we're talking about.
Because,
listen, this, the AFC North, this Ravens, Steelers, Jazz, that's That's the aughts. That's the early. That's the first decade of the 21st century. Second decade belongs to the NFC West. That Niners Seahawks rivalry is going to be fun to watch. So I say send them all up there. It'll be like the Cowboys and Niners of the 90s. All right, listen, Rank. A pleasure to see you once again.
Pleasure is all on the side of the desk.
We'll keep it. We'll yap, and we'll see how the rest of it plays out over the weekend. We'll be back with a new episode for you then. In the meantime, let's send it over to Mark Sessler and in for Dan Hanzus. It's Handsome Hank. Take it away around the league debate club. Enjoy it, Flames, and enjoy the weekend. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Hanzus and Mr. Fancy Pants. The Flames need NFL news, and here's their chance. It's ATL around the league. Light a flame, boys. Pigskin's hot tonight. Burn, baby, burn.
Welcome back to another edition of the ATL Debate Club. My name is Dan Hanzus, usually joined by Mark Sessler, but he is out of town right now. So I'm joined by another man. A man that you might know. He's earned a nickname for his broad shoulders and his strong jawline and kind eyes. His name is Handsome Hank.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here instead of a couple of hours earlier with Dave.
This is very exciting. I mean, I would play your Handsome Hank theme song, but I would face litigation by Damashek.
That's right, exactly. We don't want to upset the boss.
Let's hold off for now. But I do want to talk about something I wanted to bring up. Wanted to bring this up all week with you, but I decided to hold off because I knew you were going to be,
right.
Co-host this week. And you're not a guest here. You're
I'm a co-host apparently,
yes.
Yep.
I was, last weekend I was cleaning out my junk drawer in my home and stumbled across a concert ticket to Noel Gallagher, solo show. Noel Gallagher is the principal songwriter, lead guitarist of Oasis, now a solo artist. You know, concert was where Hank and I first, our friendship first blossomed. Hank had some British connections, got us tickets, and that was a couple of years ago. So, you know, I took a picture of the ticket, and I texted the photo to Hank, and I said, wow, memories, something like that. No response, blown off. And this is a recurring theme now between Hank and I, where I will send him text messages, and then there will be no response. So I want Henry.
It is,
what's going on here?
That is true. Now that you've said it, now I'm all too aware of the fact that I don't respond to your texts. Which is, I'm sorry about it. It's not. Don't take it personally. Perhaps I don't respond to texts very often at all.
Do you know what it feels like though? Like it's one of those things where am I carrying the load? Trying to further establish our relationship. It feels like I'm the one sending these texts into the ether almost.
Well, but perhaps you're being too needy by doing it.
That's what
maybe,
I'm thinking.
Like, you don't need to do that. Our friendship is on solid ground right now.
Okay, so
until you brought this up, in fact.
Right. So let's say, all right, let's flip script here and say you're going through your junk drawer.
Yes.
In Hank Manor. You find that ticket. It connects for a split second. Oh, this is the concert I went to with Dan and our wives. But that's where it ends. Whereas,
yeah, I would toss it out after that.
Oh, then you throw it in the garbage. Yeah. See, that actually hurts me that you're saying that.
not our friendship, just the ticket.
Yeah, even the ticket, I thought it would have some more sentimental value. But
no.
All right, let's try to get past this.
Okay.
It is free agency. You're right in the middle of free agency right now.
Right.
And your Miami Dolphins, unlike my New York Jets, are busy.
Yes.
Tell me your thoughts about it. Who do we have right now in the fold this week for
the
Dolphins?
We've got Mike Wallace. Big name wide receiver, mm-hmm. the guy that they were from the get-go of, you know, post-Super Bowl, people expected them to sign Mike Wallace. They did it, spent a lot of money on Mike Wallace to be their Ryan Tannehill's go-to receiver, take the top off defenses, etc. They then went and surprised people, I think, with Danelle Ellerby. That one we didn't see coming, especially since the guys you can be replacing, Carlos Dansby, who they released, was not terrible. He perhaps didn't play up to his contract. I think he was the second highest paid player on the team,
mm-hmm.
but he certainly didn't necessarily warrant being replaced. But I like the signing as well. A guy called Philip Wheeler, who played linebacker for the Raiders last year. I don't know why I ended up watching a few Raiders games last season. Seemed to be the only guy on defense who wasn't standing with his hands on his hips after every play,
right,
shaking his head. Chris Clemens, they re-signed, who played safety and was pretty part of a pretty good safety pairing last year. Good re-sign. And then there are a couple of guys that they have in. Your Dustin Keller, or your Jets' Dustin Keller is there at the moment. I believe they're holding him hostage at the moment. seems like he's been there for about 3 days.
That bothers me, that one. I'll tell you why. Because the Jets, very quietly, because you get so used to the narrative that the Jets have no money. But now what's happened is they've lost so many guys the last couple of days. They have $15 million in cap room now. Right. And Keller, who, he's not Rob Gronkowski, but if you put him in the right offense, let's say a West Coast offense, which is what the Jets will be running this year with Tony Sperano replaced by Marty Morenwig, he could be a player. And they're going to let him go out the door to the Dolphins. And it just as a Jets fan, it's so frustrating that that's happening. So right. You're taking a guy, maybe the only guy in that roster that I really like at this point.
But he's also one of those guys I feel like, and I don't know why, I think I had him in fantasy football a few years back. So I've kind of followed his career, and he's always been a player on the brink of having a breakout season who hasn't quite done it. And actually, I feel the same way about a player the Dolphins lost was Sean Smith at cornerback, was a guy who every season I was like, this is his year, and it hasn't turned out. And I think sometimes those guys maybe just need the change of scene. So I'd be thrilled if Keller always used to score touchdowns against the Dolphins. So I always like
he's a good player
taking players away from your rivals.
It's not cool, and I hold you personally accountable if it happens. It sounds like it's going to happen. And I don't know. Like when I look at Rex Ryan, I see a guy that's being set up for the fall now.
Yes,
his defense has been gutted. His offense was already a mess, and now you're taking away Mark Sanchez's best, receiver, his favorite target. This screams 4-12 and Rex being kicked out the door, right?
Yeah, but the writing's been on the wall since, I think, further ago than this.
You know what we should have done?
The day that we see a leak from the Jets saying that Mark Sanchez has a leg up right now in the quarterback that's competition, that's the writing on the wall right there.
Oh, that wasn't a leak. I think that came from the general manager. So Rex, really, if he was smart, he should have just quit. Like the rumors that he was going to that we heard at the end of the season, because now, what he should have done was quit. Okay. Went into TV for a year and then, reestablished his market and then got a job. Now he's going to be kind of damaged goods. I'm thinking after you drop a 3-13, 4-12,
you're right.
Whatever. Now we're going to do some business right now. We have my boss, Greg Rosenthal, who wasn't scheduled to be on the show this week. However, something happened, from the last podcast that we did and yesterday, some earth-shattering NFL news. So we're going to have him on the show and talk about it.
Okay.
We're going to give Greg a call right now. Greg, are you there?
I am here. I didn't know Henry was going to be here, though. I don't know. That changes things.
It changes what? I don't know how that would change anything.
Well, I mean, you are the director of programming, puts a little more pressure on me for the call. And, I just thought that ACL Debate Club was kind of a Sessler Hansis thing, but I see Hansis just has no loyalty.
Well, you should put that pressure on yourself every day, Greg.
Well, yeah, a couple things here, retort. Number one, Greg, you having an issue with a superior on some level, whenever you come on the Debate Club, it must be pressure for me, don't you think?
Yeah, well, like Henry said, that should be in place regardless.
And second of all, Mark will be calling in after this, so we're not forgetting about Mark. I just needed some help, okay?
Although I don't know if you even want to. I mean, he just did a red-eye flight with a connecting flight with two kids under 3 years old. It seems like probably the worst possible idea ever.
I thought the FAA banned that, like in 2002, box cutters, shoe bombs, and then babies on red eyes.
My wife was annoyed at me today because, as you know, free agency is very busy, haven't really been in the mix too much, and I just told her that story of what Mark and his wife are doing today and just said, be happy you're not them. So there you go.
I know. That's why I'm looking forward to talking to him, just to confirm that he's alive. So the reason that you are on right now, Greg, is because you are a champion of the universe on some level. Last week in your appearance on the ATL Debate Club, I asked you what you thought could be a surprise coming out of the first week of free agency, and this is how you responded.
How about Wes Welker to the Denver Broncos? I mean, if there's one team that he would fit on, and it would be kind of a seamless transition, it would kind of be worth paying him some money, and I could see being very aggressive in free agency. How about a little Wes Welker with Peyton Manning?
And there you go. Greg,
wow.
What do you got to say about that?
Damn. I mean, I'm not going to stop bringing this up all offseason. Between this and getting the score exactly right about the Super Bowl, like most people, you know, they say you want to win with class or whatever, but I'm not one of those people. I'm going to remind you about this very often. I was
going to say, you do try to organically work in that Super Bowl prediction almost weekly.
I don't know that it's organic.
It comes up a lot.
That's pretty good, though. That's pretty good. Where else did you hear Welker and Broncos? That was good. That's just off the top of my head, too. It worked
listen,
out nicely.
Listen, you definitely deserve credit for that. Now, moving beyond your personal victory, this is a freaking disaster for the Patriots, correct?
I don't think it's a disaster. I think it's disappointing. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me that they wouldn't just pay him $7 million a year or whatever it was going to be to keep him. I mean, why not? It's changed the household dynamic. My wife has decided she has become a Broncos fan. I'm not even, I'm not even exaggerating. That's the truth. She never really embraced the Patriots anyway, so this gives her an excuse.
They're not exactly a cuddly team, the Patriots. I can understand why she was always lukewarm on them.
It's a little bit like...
I mean, and that is kind of one of the reasons. I mean, she gets that vibe. So, it's disappointing. There's so few Patriots that have left and done well, so I'll be interested to see how Welker does.
Yeah, you had a good piece today on the Around the League blog, kind of breaking down the divorce. Do you think Amendola is obviously a risk? We don't even have to debate that in terms of how many games he's missed since he came into the league. But is it... Do you put it past, Belichick brain trust to pull this off and Amendola has 115 catches next year?
That wouldn't shock me. I think the offense is changing away from that same sort of slot receiver, whereas Welker might not have been quite as featured even if he was there. So 115 would be a surprise. But if Amendola is healthy and in there, I mean, it's a great situation for him. I don't see why he won't be good. But, he hasn't been healthy. And you've got a guy who, is basically Tom Brady's, best friend and, has a mind meld with him. So I don't see why you mess with that.
Yeah. Well, I do. I mean, I always draw this analogy just because, I'm a big Yankees fan, but I do see a big connection between Jeter and Brady, and it goes on multiple levels. And one of them is that, the longer you stick around, you see all your other guys go away. And we've seen this for years with Brady, whether it be, Branch or Malloy, Welker, on down the line, that he says these things like, I'm going to miss this guy. But he just keeps moving on because he's the one guy that's the rock of the whole situation,
Yeah, well, I mean, what's he going to do? He'll still be Tom Brady. That's the key part. It's not like they're hurting, Amendola, Gronkowski, Hernandez. That's a good start in terms of weapons. They'll probably pick up some more people. I'm waiting for Handsome Hank here to jump in as a Dolphins fan and give his opinion.
Well, my opinion, we talked about this yesterday, was that while this, you painted it as a bold move by the Patriots because everything the Patriots do is bold. If it was any other team, this would be foolhardy and a ridiculous mistake. So,
ooh, the dagger.
It's
the British dagger.
It's difficult for me to separate the from the Patriots fan, Greg Rosenthal.
Well, Belichick's earned that right. And actually, he is getting criticized very strongly, I would say nationally and definitely locally. I don't think people...
But not by you. Crucially, not by you.
No, not by me. He's earned my trust. I mean, hey, when they signed Welker from your Dolphins or traded for him, as you remember, I think they signed him to a five-year, $18 million contract, which was turned out to be one of the best contracts ever. I mean, who knows? And Amendola is 5 years younger. Maybe this will turn out to be a pretty nice one, too.
Okay, last thing before you go. So now that your wife is moving on from the Patriots, what's the next step here? Is she going to get...
I feel like this is a bit like... This is like the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes breakup, where she wants to leave Scientology, and you're still... I mean, and it's not the only... You're short and handsome as well. So can you see the parallel there?
No, but I could see it a little bit. It is, we do have a cute daughter as well, so there
exactly.
are some parallels.
And, but you're stuck supporting worshiping the dark side. And
well, we're both Red Sox fans, and she's never been conflicted on that. She's a big Red Sox fan.
Right.
She's never really embraced the Patriots. She's gone through different periods. She was a Cowboys fan initially because she liked Tony Romo. She tried out the Seahawks because of their uniform. So
wow.
She was never
sports
really,
bigamist.
Really a committed member of the
right.
team.
Well, I hope everything works out. I hope it doesn't lead to, you know, issues in the home. I want you guys to have a happy marriage.
I do as well. You do as well. Like, that does make sense because I'll just take it out on you.
Exactly. That's true. It's true. All right, Greg, thank you very much, and congratulations on your great prediction.
All right, thanks, Ed.
Later. All right, that was my boss.
That was rough. You treated him badly.
Did you think I treated him badly?
I feel like that will be influencing your annual review.
Huh. I didn't even think of that, but I think that I'm a little nervous now. Let's just keep rolling, by the way.
Yeah, we are.
Mark Sessler is not with us today. He is, as Greg mentioned, he took a red-eye flight, which is absurd, with two infants, essentially.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to do that, the thing to do is send your wife in front with the two children and then follow the next day.
Yeah, but he's not a class act. Let's bring him on the line. Mark Sessler, ATL Debate Club co-host.
Hello. Dan, how are you?
There he is.
That's nice. It's good to hear your voice, Mark. I'm sitting in your seat.
Yes, that voice you hear is Handsome Hank, who I'm not going to say he replaced you. He's just filling in, but there is a creeping sense of a Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith dynamic here.
Yeah, really, you shouldn't have gone away.
That only means that, you know, a year from now I'll be working in Kansas City.
Again.
At a low-level radio station, probably filing paperwork.
Oh, no. How's it going, Mark? We just had Greg Rosenthal on, and he thought it was pretty amazing that you took a red-eye flight with your two young children and your wife. How did that go?
It went fine. What I would say the high point of actually arriving, and I'm not going to describe exactly where I am because, you know, you don't need to know that, but where I am, my wife is trying to explain to relatives of mine what it is exactly that Dave Damashek does,
right?
Which I think to the normal person is hard to explain. They haven't grasped it yet.
Has your wife got a good understanding of that herself? Because I've worked with him for, what, two and a half years, and I'm still not quite sure what it is that Damashek does.
I've asked her not to try to get into details.
Right.
Whatever it was the three of you were up to in Austin last week, you, Damashek, and Andy Fenelon, which...
Our senior
as far as
editor.
I'm concerned, does not bring us any closer to a job description.
No, you're right. That doesn't help.
Yeah, I guess Dave is kind of an interesting character to try to decode. I remember there was an awkward phase a couple of months back where him and my mother started connecting on Facebook via the comment section, and I had to explain the same thing to her. I mean, Dave's a busy man, but to a parent, maybe it's not easy to explain.
I don't find that to be that was not an awkward time. That was a beautiful time. some of the better stuff that happened on Facebook
Mark,
many months.
So tell me about, so I'm glad that you're wherever the location is. It sounds like you're in the witness protection plan or something.
I don't need to go into details about
Okay,
where
we
I am.
Won't. Okay. We're not going to ask any questions. The Browns, they're making some moves here. Hope is a dangerous thing, Mark.
I think you guys have me pegged as having an especially rosy view of this. I don't. I mean, I think someone put out the stat that they've signed roughly 98 free agents since returning to the NFL, and I think one of them has made a Pro Bowl.
Who was that?
Derek Anderson.
Ooh. Is that true?
Well, that is the answer. And,
wow.
You know, I mean,
Handsome
Henry,
Hank.
Your team also has...
On whenever it was, Tuesday... We were sort of half embarrassedly high-fiving each other, but at the same time reflecting on over the past, I think it was the past 5 years, we have a combined, when I say we, the Browns and the Dolphins, have a combined one winning season. And then I've looked further back. Over the last 10 years, there are four winning seasons between the two teams. So this is not two teams who've covered themselves in glory recently.
So who do we have here?
I think that we have a distinct ability to overpay for the small number of available players. And I think Cleveland at least, you know, wisely paid for some very solid defensive talent. I have no idea what Miami's done.
So tell me a little bit, though, about... So we got... Who do we have in town here? We have Kruger.
Right.
He's going to apply some pressure. You got Desmond Bryant. He of the greatest mugshot of the 21st century. He's going to bring some heat up the middle, correct? But here's my question.
Theory,
yeah.
Correct is strong.
Here's my question. I mean, how can I get excited about this team when your quarterback situation is so unsettled? Like, what's going on the offensive side of the ball?
I'm very excited about the fact that we don't have a quarterback that's proven. I think it just it leads to some interesting scenarios. I mean, listen, I think they're obviously going to make a play for Ryan Mallett. I believe it was at Super Bowl that I bet you guys, you know, a gigantic dinner.
Yes, you did.
That Mallett would be Cleveland's opening right. day starter. I was laughed at.
You know,
the rumors have come and gone. I stick by this.
Well, but I don't know if you've been keeping your ear to the ground in your secret location, in your bunker. But the latest rumor, according to your friend Mary Kay Cabot, is that Jason Campbell could be joining the Browns as competition. I'd love to see the training camp showdown between Campbell and Whedon.
You mean Jason Campbell, otherwise known as the final piece?
Yes, the final piece of the puzzle.
That does nothing to excite the public.
Well, that's not the point.
Well, who do you think has more wins next season, the Jets or the Browns?
Well, I mean, Dan, and I don't say this lightly. The Jets are starting to look like a one or two win team.
Whoa. Dropping me on one bomb.
I don't say that with pleasure, but I think we talked about this earlier in the week. It's like we're watching the few remaining relevant pieces slip away and sign for more money with other teams. I almost feel bad for Rex Ryan.
Yeah, no, we talked about Rex earlier on the show, just about how he seems to be set up for a fall here. But, you know, it is what it is. I had my two shots at the Super Bowl. We lost both games, and now I'm deep in rebuilding. And Henry's in a great place emotionally. And, Mark, you still seem to be in some type of fan gutter, and I'm sorry to hear that.
I've got bigger issues to deal with.
When are you coming back here, by the way?
And unknown.
Well, wait, are you coming back here?
Are you in danger?
Unknown. I will return. Actually, I will. Despite my strange circumstances, I have been told that I will be logging on tomorrow to continue to post highly engaging football content.
That's good.
That's good.
And that means you have an internet connection, which means that you have some tie to society.
It's not a submarine. We were writing down
connection by then.
We were writing down possible places. I can scratch submarine off the list.
Yeah, I had a Iranian foothill.
Yeah.
But I guess that's not in play either.
Iranian foothills, shaky Wi-Fi, but you know, I wouldn't so quickly eliminate an option like that. But no, I'm not in Iran.
Right. Okay, good. Well, wherever you are, Mark, I want to thank you for not only calling in, but calling in from a landline. That was really respectful of the podcast. And, you know, even though Hank's doing a great job here, your seat, it's going to be there when you get back. Don't you worry about it.
It's just there'll be someone else sitting in it.
I'm slightly worried, but you know what? If I were to completely lose this role to Hank, I couldn't feel shame about that. He's a skilled individual.
That's true.
That's true. Kind.
He's a real superstar. Kind. All right, Mark. You know, Godspeed. Hang in there, buddy.
Farewell, gents.
Good luck.
And that is it for the ATL Debate Club. Henry, how did you enjoy your co-hosting stint?
I really enjoyed it. I'm thrilled. If this is the only time it happens, it'll be one of the highlights of my life. Just one reflection on it. I don't believe we debated anything.
No.
So you might want to think about the title.
Well, that's really a big part of the Debate Club is the idea that we don't ever debate.
Right.
Which, you know, listen, some people will call that counterproductive or, mm-hmm. or stupid is another mm-hmm. way to put it. But, you know, that's just the way we like to do things around here.
Right. Will you, out of this, can I get, can you be a reference on LinkedIn for me?
Yes.
Thank you.
LinkedIn reference.
Thank you.
And will you be my MySpace friend?
Yes.
Great. Everything is working out.
Minor league social networks are covered.
NFL.com/Sheck. That is where you can find the ATL Debate Club now. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.